One of the most important groups of immigrants to America in the colonial period hailed from France and were known as the Huguenots. The name was of uncertain origins, but their beliefs were not. Known now as the Protestant Reformed Church of France, those Reformation-era believers were first influenced by the preaching of the gospel coming from Martin Luther, and later became the spiritual children of a French theologian and pastor, John Calvin. At their high point, Huguenots established at least 2,000 churches and had an estimated 2 million adherents, which was about 10% of the population around 1562. In fact, it was thought by some that at the rate people were being converted and becoming Huguenots, all of France might someday become Protestant. The Roman Catholic Church did not sit idly by while the Huguenots grew and prospered. Violent counterattacks by both noblemen and peasants, led by priests, instituted persecutions which lasted until the French Revolution. More than 500,000 French Christians left the country and settled in all of the Protestant nations of Europe and in America, where many came to Charleston, South Carolina, Richmond, Virginia, and other places. Hundreds of thousands were murdered or killed in the so-called religious wars that would envelop France and Europe. The story of the French Calvinists in America, however, did not begin with the late 17th century migrations. Early on in the Reformation, the greatest Huguenot leader in France, Admiral Gaspard de Coligny, sponsored French explorations in the New World, a land claimed in total by Spain, the most Catholic nation in Europe. They guarded their own colonies in South and Central America with uncompromising diligence and violence. They also claimed Florida. That conflict will be the subject of our visit to Fort Caroline near Jacksonville, Florida. But to better understand the context of those clashes, we need to know more of the history of the Huguenots and Admiral de Coligny. One of the hallmarks of the Reformation is expressed in the Latin phrase sola scriptura, that is, by the scriptures alone. In fact, the Reformation came after many years, in fact centuries, of struggle by some Christians who wanted to read the Bible in their own language, in the vernacular languages. And in France, there had been a great deal of success in that. The availability of the Bible in local vernacular languages was important to the spread of the church, the Reformed Church, in France. In 1294, a French version of the scriptures was prepared by the Roman Catholic priest Gaillard de Molines, the first known translation of the Bible into one of France's regional languages, Arpitan, or Franco-Provençal, had been prepared by the 12th century pre-reformer Peter Waldo, who then, historians believe, became the founder of the Waldensians. There were other predecessors of the Reformed Church, and one of the earliest great reformers of France was a man by the name of Jacques Lefebvre. His dates are 1455 to 1536. Lefebvre was a professor of the university in Paris. He published his French translation of the New Testament in 1523, and then followed that with a translation of the whole Bible into the French language in 1530. One of his students was William Farrell, who was going to go on to Switzerland and establish his pastorate as a Frenchman in Geneva, Switzerland. Both William Farrell and John Calvin, French students of Lefebvre, eventually migrated, or actually fled, to Geneva, Switzerland. And there they led the Protestant Reformation in that city. The Huguenot story began in the early 16th century, when religious reform was born in France, as well as elsewhere in Europe. And it really began with the preaching of Martin Luther in Germany and his sermons being translated and being read in both German and in French in the French universities. Most of the outspoken reformers in France were compelled to leave, including John Calvin, and they went to cities in Germany and Switzerland, to Strasbourg, to Geneva, and other places. In fact, when John Calvin penned his great magnum opus, theological tract, The Institutes of the Christian Religion, he addressed the preface to the King of France, the monarch Francis, whom he called the most Christian king of the French. And he sought to bring, quote, relief to the poor Church of God in France by explaining the Protestant and Reformed faith to the king. Calvin wrote to the king, "The main issue is how God's glory may be kept safe on earth, how God's truth may retain its place of honor, how Christ's kingdom may be kept in good repair among us." And Calvin's words were wasted on the king, who had no interest in supporting the Reformation or seeing it continue in the land of France. Quoting historian William Henry Foote in The Huguenots or the Reformed French Church, "Although Francis I persisted in his opposition to the French Protestants, his sister, Marguerite, received refugees from her brother's severity, including the young John Calvin and the aged Lefebvre. Francis' son, Henry II, who had married Catherine de Medici, the niece of Pope Clement VII, hoped to succeed where his father had failed in exterminating the Protestants. Prisons were filled and death by fire frequent. The Huguenots died singing the Psalms until their tongues were cut out to silence them at the stake. From the printing presses of Geneva, Bibles and other books were sent into France, along with a steady stream of correspondence from Calvin and others to encourage the persecuted Huguenots. The company of pastors in Geneva trained and sent back into France young French Protestants to preach the Reformed faith and establish churches. Many of them died in the attempt. Calvin, in fact, wrote a number of letters to five young men who had studied in Geneva and were arrested for preaching in Lyon. On May the 15th, 1553, he wrote this, "Since it pleases God to employ you to the death in maintaining his quarrel, he will strengthen your hands in the fight and will not suffer a single drop of your blood to be spent in vain." Several days later, the five prisoners of Lyon went to the stake singing the Psalms. The Reform movement continued to grow. Records show that at least 121 ministers were sent from Geneva into France in the 11 years between 1555 and 1556. John Calvin encouraged the Huguenots to endure persecution, but he urged them not to revolt or to take up arms. And although encouraged to not fight back, eventually the Huguenots responded to the persecutions and the attacks that were made to exterminate them and their families by following leaders in resistance to the king. And in a few years, there are going to be what are called the religious civil wars of France, in which the Huguenots are going to defend themselves from the attacks of the various Catholic armies that are raised by the king or by the king's counselors and sent against those who were preaching the gospel and following the Reformed faith. In the beginning, the Reformed faith in France was like it was in other countries, that is, an attempt to reform the Roman Catholic Church, to deal with the various problems and excesses that they perceived from the Catholic Church. And from there, it went to separation from Roman Catholicism and the establishment of biblical churches that were independent of Rome. In 1559, 150 Huguenot leaders secretly organized the very first national synod of Reformed churches in France, in Paris. I might add, as a side note, that when we study the Huguenots, we find time and time again a reference to their singing of the Psalms. The man most responsible for French psalm singing and the composition of the Psalms into French was a man named Clement Marot. He did more than all the men who had preceded him in refining and publishing the languages of France, or the language of France, I should say. He set the standard of polite language and conversation at court by the exceeding popularity of his poetry. Eventually, he retired to the court in Navarre, the court of Margaret. And on his return to France, the Regius professor of Hebrew at the University of Paris, a man named Vatablus, persuaded him to translate some of the Psalms of David into French verse. Having versified about 20 Psalms, taken without numerical order, into lively ballad measure, he printed them in 1540 with a dedication to the king. The book was received as a literary production of great merit. The king was pleased with the dedication. The king and court carried it triumphantly against all opposition because the Sorbonne, the university in Paris, came out very strongly against the singing of the Psalms in French. The Sorbonne was in the hands of the church, the most conservative members of the church, as well as intellectuals and scholars who were opposed to the Reformation. They saw the singing of the Psalms a promotion of the Reformed faith and an attack on the Catholic Church. Nonetheless, the king supported it and supported it well. Being in the troubadour or ballad measure, one and another began to sing them to old ballad tunes. And each member of His Majesty's court had their own favorite psalm that they called their psalm. The Psalms of Moreau might be heard at all times and in all places across France. In little time, they were sung by all classes in all places, and that helped to spread the Reformation. It gave people the Word of God in the French language, and as it was being sung, it was remembered. As children learn songs in their youth, they have them for all times, and that's what happened with the Psalms. In fact, eventually the Psalms took the place of all the national songs in France. The poet was encouraged to paraphrase 30 more psalms in the same measure. 50 were printed in Geneva. And as time went on, more and more psalms were produced. Eventually, Theodore Beza in Switzerland versified the remaining 100 psalms. And with those of Moreau, they were printed together in one volume. They were fitted to tunes to be the tunes that were to the taste of the people. And the response of the Sorbonne and others was to produce opposing songs in French. The Cardinal of Lorraine directed the efforts of the opposers of the Psalms. He procured the translation of the odes of Horace, Tibullus, and Catullus into French, and then for circulation in the courts of Francis. Many people sang them with great joy. In time, lascivious songs took possession of the court, in which lasciviousness reigned. However, the psalms that were produced and published in Geneva eventually would be translated also into English, and they would become the standard hymnody of the church. Well, the Huguenots became known for their harsh criticisms of the doctrine and worship of the Catholic Church, from which they had broken away. Of course, they opposed the same things that the Puritans in England opposed: the rituals, the images, the prayer to saints and the celebration of saints' days, pilgrimages, prayers for the dead, all of those sorts of things that were not found in the scriptures and were part of the rebellion, as it was called, of the reformers. Well, while they faced persecution in France, they faced it as well in the Netherlands and in every other country in Europe. The leadership of the Huguenot cause in France eventually fell to a great Protestant leader, perhaps the greatest of his age, a man by the name of Gaspard de Coligny. He was born into a noble family. He rose through the military ranks. He fought in several wars on behalf of France. He and his brother became the most zealous and consistent aristocratic supporters of the Protestant cause in 16th century France. But before that took place, he rose through the ranks and eventually was appointed admiral of all of the French navies. As admiral, de Coligny realized that he had within his power the ability to establish colonies in other parts of the world. And with the expansion of Spain into the New World, de Coligny thought a little competition would be great. In fact, because he was so concerned and so focused on protecting his fellow Huguenots, he determined on several attempts at colonizing the New World with Huguenot colonists. It would serve a couple purposes. It would enable the Huguenots to construct a French-speaking Protestant church in the New World. It would enable France to compete with Spain and perhaps to hold them at bay in places where the Spanish did not have a colony, such as in Brazil and in Florida. And these are things that we have already looked at on our tour, but de Coligny determined to bring the gospel to the New World as well as French culture and French psalm singing in the French church. Well, because of the conflicts that were taking place in France, eventually Coligny was caught up in the civil wars, and he became the leader of the French forces. The wars of religion, as they were called, took place for a number of years, and de Coligny was generally successful. He lost a few battles, he won a lot. And because wars were so expensive, the king could not sustain his attempt to annihilate all of the Huguenots in these wars. So a series of civil wars were fought. And when the king ran out of money to support the mercenary troops that he had hired to fight his war, then he would sue for peace. Eventually, the Catholic Guise family in Paris decided that de Coligny and the Huguenots themselves needed to be exterminated, and they attempted the one fell blow to try and annihilate the Protestant church in France on August the 24th, 1572, when the attack was made on the Huguenots in Paris and all across France, and many, many thousands, some estimate up to 30,000 Christians were massacred on that day and the days following. And the most prominent of them was Admiral de Coligny, the man who had supported the attempt to plant a Christian community, a Protestant French community in the New World. We are going to visit Fort Caroline, one of those Huguenot settlements in the New World. It followed on the heels of the first and largest attempt to plant a Huguenot colony in the New World in Brazil, and we'll talk about that. And then see what happened here in Florida. Also, I would like to recommend a couple books to you. If you want to know more about the Huguenots, there are a number of very good histories. I would recommend to you a book entitled The Huguenots or Reformed French Church by William Henry Foote. It's published by Sprinkle Publications. There's also a number of very fine other works on the Huguenots. If you have Huguenot ancestry, a book entitled Huguenot Emigration to America by Charles W. Baird has been reprinted. It was done in the early 20th century. And if you have Huguenot ancestry or have an interest in further study of the Huguenots in America, I recommend that book to you as well. There are others. Those two are easily acquired and accessible regarding the Huguenots and their coming to America.